At the third stroke, it will be...
Hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your audio snack on everything EUC related. And in today's show, we'll be offering you a semi-live coverage of the 90th edition of the Dutch Citrix User Group gathering. Yes, that's correct, a semi-live report from this old school face-to-face, and no face masks required, luckily for us, but an old school physical event. You might remember those events from the pre-COVID era, and hopefully there will be more of these gatherings in the future. So before we talk you through this day and provide this live or semi-live coverage, please allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Jitz Langerijk, and I'm your host for this episode. And with me is a co-host that, is not being on behind the mic that often in our podcasts or throwdowns. So welcome. And a very good morning, Bas.
Good morning, Jitz. Good to be here. Like you mentioned, finally a live event again. So happy to be here to see everybody in person. And great to be behind the mic for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely. Because for those who are, true believers in our podcast and regular visitors of our podcast, you might know that... Bas is also part of the EUC Digest group, and he puts a lot of effort in making everything possible behind the scenes when it comes to sponsoring and also all our activities on social media. So, it's good to have you behind the mic. And
absolutely.
As you mentioned, it's good to see each other face to face. But maybe for your first impression, walking in this venue this morning, feeling the buzz, seeing the people, meeting old friends, how was that experience for you?
Awesome. I was looking forward to this, you know, for the last couple of days, obviously, like many of us, I think. You know, this morning I parked my car, ran into the, the first attendees on the parking lot, started having conversations right away, and you could notice that, you know, everybody was... really well looking forward to this event, of course, like I just mentioned about myself as well. But it's about time, basically. That's the general buzz. You know, everybody's sick of team meetings, virtual events, however great they may be from time to time, and of course it's easy time wise and you name it, but you know, totally different to be here and to talk to everybody in person. Everybody's excited. Like you mentioned, there's a real buzz going on. I made some photos of the audience as well. Great to see everybody, enjoying in-person events again.
Yeah.
It's been too long. Definitely.
Yeah. And I heard some people already mentioning like it almost feels like a high school reunion. So
yeah.
Which is great. And so, when talking about this this audience, so today we are in a group of approximately like 110, 115 people, and this is of course still due to some regulations and the maximum amount of people that you can host into a in this case this venue. I was told by the Dutch Citrix User Group Steering Committee that the last physical old school event took place almost 2 years ago in October 2019, and this was a great event as well. And in the meantime, they have hosted a recorded event as well, which was it was appreciated by a lot of people within the community. A lot of those on-demand videos were shown, or were not really shown, but they were watched by a lot of community friends during that time. So today, a group of 110, 115 people, and a great lineup of speakers. And as you can imagine, due to travel regulations and all the difficulties basically with travel from people abroad. We have an all Dutch lineup. So today, Barry Schiefer, one of the board members of the Dutch Citrix User Group, will start up with the opening, and then we have a sponsored session from ControlUp. And then this is a session that I'm looking forward to, particularly is the Citrix keynote by Ingmar Verheij and Nick Boefink. And then, well, after that keynote, there will be the Dutch famous treat from Den Bosch. So everyone will be treated on a Bosse bowl. No sugar involved there, probably. completely different than the Dutch stroopwafel, I guess. More sponsored sessions. Also, our sponsor Liquidware is also a proud sponsor of the Dutch Citrix User Group. So they will be on stage as well. And then another session that I'm very much looking forward to is a reference case that will be presented by Gerjon Kunst. So we will do our best to get him behind the mic afterwards, and let's see what he can share with all of us on this little session. And then Nutanix, also a sponsor of the Dutch User Group, will do a sponsored session. And then Patrick van der Born and Rick Steinman will also present a great case, deploying Windows 10 Enterprise multi-session with Azure DevOps and Terraform and Packer. So that could be a educational session. And then, of course, also in the end, we have Rodi Kossen and Kees Bacherman, Nutanix and Citrix together. So recently a lot of love between those companies.
Oh, yeah.
The two of them will be on stage and talking about end-user computing and the performance that is required there. So a great lineup, I think.
Absolutely.
Any particular session that you are interested in?
I like all the sessions. You know, it's great to see everybody on stage again. I was talking to some of the guys who needed to present or are going to present today, and everybody's nervous again. You know, it's totally different from doing a Teams meeting or a Teams presentation. So that's also fun to see. Unfortunately, I need to leave a bit early, so around lunch. You know, the work of a nerdy-o-fueled CTO never stops. So, but I will definitely, you know, catch everybody afterwards, maybe tomorrow, the day after. Not sure if things are being recorded. I don't think so, to be honest. But too bad. Maybe something they can do next time, perhaps. But yeah, too bad I have to miss a couple of sessions. But, you know, I will be able to catch the first few, so looking forward to those.
Yeah, that's a big win already. So again, this will be a semi-live coverage of the Dutch Citrix User Group gathering, the 19th edition already, and we'll do our best to get most of the presenters behind the mic and talk you through this day. And for us now, we'll just grab another cup of coffee and get ready for the keynote.
Yeah, just some closing words from me, because like I mentioned, I have to leave a bit early. Great shout out to the EUC Digest team, especially. Because, you know, like you mentioned, I do some stuff behind the scenes. But you guys, you know, with all the podcasts and all the work you put in, awesome to see those or to hear those and to see those as well, by the way, on YouTube, of course. Those podcasts, it's almost bi-weekly. Awesome job. Looking forward to this one as well, of course. So thanks for, you know, to the whole team.
Thank you for those kind words, Bas. And well, before we grab ourselves a nice cup of coffee and get ready for the first session at this Dutch Citrix User Group gathering, as you can understand, there are a lot of sponsors here today, and maybe we can get one of those sponsors behind the mic as well. But please allow us also to take the opportunity to say thank you to our sponsor, Igel. So Igel is the provider of next-gen Edge operating systems for workspaces, which provides a secure and high-performance managed endpoint operating system, which runs on any device, including their own UD Pocket, and provides you access to Azure Virtual Desktops, VMware, Amazon, Citrix, and you name it. So now let's see what this 19th edition of the Dutch Citrix User Group for us has in store. So welcome back to the EUC Digest podcast, and as we just mentioned, we have watched the keynote, and the keynote was delivered by Ingmar van Heij and Nick Boefink, and of course, this was all about the Citrix keynote. So on the mic now is, our fellow EUC Digest podcast crew member, Ingmar van Heij. Thank you for joining us, Ingmar.
Hey, it's thanks for having me in the show.
And maybe this is a little bit the obvious question, but as this is one of the first face-to-face conferences again, as we mentioned, this was also one of the topics that you addressed at the beginning of that keynote, right? You covered a little bit about the COVID-19 pandemic and how this has affected all the work styles of customers, but also for you personally. So Maybe you can take us back a little bit on the beginning of your keynote.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, you know, it's the first in-person event conference since almost 2 years, so it feels like a high school reunion. It's kind of awkward in a sense, like being close to people and also being on stage has been such a long time, so it's kind of you know, a new experience. But yeah, the keynote, essentially, the way we started it, it's just going back to what happened in the past 18 months, which is a pandemic. I'm not sure if you realize, but there has been a pandemic, which kind of was an inflection point on everyone's life. And I actually, you know, we took the audience on a journey where we talked about, okay, what did this actually mean for you and me, right? So it's not just about our customers that, you know, faced the pandemic and everyone had to work from home all of a sudden, but it's also something that affected our lives as well, so the people in the audience. So you have to work from home all of a sudden, you know, work is no longer a place you go to, but it's actually an activity. So how do you make sure that people have secure access to their applications, that it's, you know, that they have all the tools needed? But then there's the next step, which is actually, you know, what is work, right? Work is the place where you're into the office. And that's where work was. So you can meet up with your coworkers. You can ask, like, hey, how are you doing? How was your day? But also, you know, what's the status on this certain activity? Or, you know, can we quickly look at the activities that I'm working on? Can you help me with that? Work is an activity. And we noticed that a lot of companies that, you know, when the pandemic hit, basically came to a halt. So, you know, the business processes were not digital. So the digital transformation never happened. And you can provide all access to applications and make sure that, you know, SaaS applications are there or your VDI and et cetera. But then you need to make sure that people actually can work and that the process is there. So, you know, I said we took them on a journey and how Citrix is helping our customers on achieving that.
Yeah, so and on that topic, like what you said, work is something you do. It's not particularly just a place where you go to. And I think Citrix has a huge offer in all kinds of tools, because in the end of the day, IT is just a tool to get your work done. You and Nick, you covered the Citrix workspace. So one name that only focuses on simplify and secure access to data and applications, and to make sure that everyone can collaborate in an effective manner, right? So I think you mentioned something about the acquisition of Wrike that happened during this pandemic. Can you maybe tell us a little bit on how you personally use this tool within Citrix, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the Wrike acquisition, to me, made a lot of sense because it's an extension of Workspace as it is and the trajectory we were on. But also, specifically, I mean, mostly because of the pandemic, people were at home. And that whole feeling of, hey, what is work? What am I doing here? What is my role in this company? When do I feel successful? When do I feel like, hey, I've actually contributed something to my organization? Just knowing what your work is something how I use Wrike. So I structured all my activities, all my task essentially, and my work in Wrike. Personally, I typically use the Kanban board, and then there's just a few of things I need to do, what's in progress, where's some review, I can get some approvals, I can collaborate with other people. So for the keynote of today, I collaborated with Nick on, like, hey, you know, this is the part I'm doing, this is the part you're doing, and then, you know, going back and forth. But I think the key thing here for me with Wrike is it brings people, you know, back on the same page. And especially when you were used to, you know, meeting with people who were in the same office, just knowing what the other is doing helps a lot. And what I think this is going to avoid, it's going to prevent, is getting that email or getting that Slack or Teams message like, hey, what are you doing? Or like, what's the progress of this activity? Because that happened a lot, right? There was, sure, we saw a peak and a spike in Teams usage and Zoom and Slack for that matter, just because we needed to collaborate, we needed to talk with our coworkers. And with solutions like this, sure, you still need to collaborate, and I think it's key that you are connected with your company, you're connected with your coworkers. But this at least gives you a good overview of, hey, what's happening in my company and what's the progress. So you can only communicate whenever that's, well, needed or socially wanted.
So, and of course, as I said, in that broad portfolio with all the tools and all the solutions covered in this Citrix Workspace offering, there was another thing that caught my attention. And basically, this was the tech preview of this agentless access to internal web applications. So is there something that you can share about on this tech preview?
First of all, I think it's freaking awesome. So that's what I wanted to share. The tech preview that we showed, that we announced here, I think it's called Direct Access. Correct me when I'm wrong here. Beat me out of here. But I mean, like I said in the opening, because we, like all of a sudden, people had to work no longer in the office. So typically that was at home, but other people are going to a coffee shop or like at the neighbor's house. Like there was no more control, no more secure control over your endpoint or your location, and people need to access their SaaS applications. So what we showed here with this specific tech preview is a way to provide access to SaaS applications, so web and SaaS applications, which is non-intrusive. So there's no need to install an agent. There's no need to use Citrix Workspace to access those applications. You can. Obviously, it's good that you have an aggregated view of all your SaaS applications. It's not needed, right? So there's just a new URL. All the end user needs to do is click on it or type it, whatever he wants. And we provide them secure access to that application. So we help them with single sign-on. We help them with the organization by applying the policies and restrictions which they deem necessary. So it's contextual aware, so it knows where you are. It knows if you are in a quote-unquote trusted environment and then applies the restrictions which are needed. So this, especially for like, I mean, for an end user, you don't need to install an agent. You don't need to know anything. It's just
simple and secure.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and security is not causing any difficulties for an end user in this case. And there was also one more thing that was mentioned at the end: local applications.
Mm-hmm.
So locally installed applications delivered to your portal, or
yeah, well, we'll call it a portal. Citrix Workspace is provides you an aggregated view of those applications, those resources, which are provided to you as an end user, which helps you get through the day, right? So typically, you know, in the past, we were used to providing access to a desktop, a hosted desktop, or hosted applications. So you know, those applications run in a data center or in perhaps a public cloud. But we do know that a lot of organizations, a lot of end users, have those applications installed on their endpoint. And they're not using VDI, they're not using DAS. They just run Office 365 on their Mac or on their Windows endpoint. So with that tech preview, that one more thing that Nick showed, we also include those applications which are installed locally on your endpoint. And again, for the end users, just you get an aggregated view for all the applications, including those which are installed locally but managed by IT.
So it's all about the mix: local applications, centralized applications, web SaaS applications, you name it, everything consolidated and aggregated into a single pane of glass, making it accessible for the end user in a secure manner. So it's bringing everyone together. And this also reminds me a little bit to, a few opening words at the beginning of this Dutch Citrix user group gathering here in the Netherlands. Barry Schiefer was talking about love between maybe different companies, and in the previous throwdown we talked about the recently announced love between, or well, maybe the love was already there between Citrix and Nutanix. And later today there will also be a session brought by Rodi Kosser from Citrix and Kees Bachman from Nutanix. But we also have seen a lot of love, and here on the table Pim has joined as well, so a lot of love maybe between or today with VMware and Citrix. So maybe we can pass over the mic to Pim. So welcome, Pim. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first time that I'm meeting you face to face at a Dutch Citrix user group meeting, right?
It's actually not the first time I'm here, but the first time we meet, yes, that's true. I think it's okay. The second or third time I'm here.
Oh, really? Yep. So maybe I missed a couple of those.
Yeah,
good to see you here. And yeah, for those, there is proof online. I see you wearing a VMware cap. So
I think it's a Citrix cap, right?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me on this one. So this is not your first Dutch Citrix user group here in the Netherlands. But how has it been so far for you today?
Yeah, so far so good. The main reason I come here is for the Bossable.
Yeah.
Now they have a treat every time. I think it's a typical Dutch pastry. It's filled with whipped cream and covered with chocolate. So what's not to like? But
yeah.
Other than that, the reason I come here is mainly to network and to learn about new technology. And I think what Citrix is doing is pretty cool. I just watched the keynote with their whole workspace offering. Of course, we have one of those offerings as well, but it's always good to see what are they doing? How does it compare? And so far, it looks very promising.
Yeah, and of course, if you look at Citrix Workspace, and maybe also, of course, you have some inside information on what is happening at VMware. But of course, VMworld is coming up as well, right? So unfortunately, this is an online event, as where the Dutch Citrix User Group is a traditional old school event, face to face. But if you look at the what is being shared by Nick and Ingmar on their workspace or Citrix workspace offering and all the components that it contains, how would you compare this to what VMware is doing? If we can, right?
But yeah, well, VMworld is still to be. I think it's next week, so yeah. There's not a lot I can share,
of course.
It will not be a surprise that it will mainly about, at least from the EUC perspective, it will mainly about the anywhere workspace, and that's typical. You can compare it with the Citrix workspace offering, but VMware offers a couple of additional components. With the VeloCloud and the Carbon Black acquisition, we offer a complete SASE offering, more focused on security as well. And I think that will be the main difference. And that the announcements at VMworld will also be around those topics, about that whole complete offering to make sure that you can use any device from any location in a secure fashion.
Oh, yeah, and actually at the Citrix keynote, Nick mentioned exactly like you just mentioned, the any strategy. So any user, any application, any device, any location, and now also the latest edition, any work type with the acquisition of Ryk. It's good to see that the any approach is basically in the EUC world is the standard, the de facto standard, focusing around the user. But if I understand you correctly, it's also about maybe any IT admin just to manage such an environment in a more easy approach, maybe. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely always one of the challenges if you acquire companies. How do you make sure that the admin can still manage it as a single solution? Because in the back end, it are a couple of different solutions. VMware has that, and Citrix probably has that as well. So that's always a challenge. But what I see and hear from customers is that there's even a bigger ask for a secure solution. I mean, the admin should have an easy life, but there's more focus on making sure that with all these remote users, all these remote workers, it should be secure. How do I trust the device? How do I make sure that I get a real-time status from the devices? And as already mentioned in the keynote as well, that traditional VPN might not be the best solution because it's, they compared it here with an open sewage connection into your data center.
That was a nice one.
Yeah, so that's definitely one of the big concerns, and also questions coming from the audience were around security. So that's definitely one of the things I expect a lot of growth coming years to more and more customers focusing on that.
Yeah, it's definitely all about security and ease of access to application data for end users. So, and you might hear some background noises. People are starting to come into to the room again, so they're getting ready for the next session. So, Pim, thank you very much. I hope you have a great day at the Dutch Citrix User Group, and enjoy your Bossable, of course, and watch the sugar.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we just heard a magnificent round of applause and excellent questions, actually, after the session from Gerjon Kunst. So he did a customer reference case on Hollandse Kroon. And as I said, this was one of the sessions that I was looking forward to specifically.
Oh, cool.
Before we dive into your session, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure.
Glad to do. My name is Gerion Kunst. I work at Rawworks in the Netherlands as a principal consultant and focusing on end-user computing, workspace and cloud. So, and that's the reason I was fortunate enough to do a session here on the reference case that we did at Holland Scroon a few months back.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, the reference case with this municipality, or actually I think it was a merger of different municipalities up in the north in the Netherlands, but I have to congratulate you on the Citrix Innovation Award with this this case, right?
Yeah, that was really cool. We were really surprised that we were nominated, and even more surprised that we got the prize. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, but awesome. Exactly. That's really, well, a big reward for all the hard work that you've put in there.
Yeah. It was a recognition for our hard work, and it was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congrats again.
Thanks.
So, and the reason why I was really looking forward to this session is because of the fact that, as I mentioned, the municipality Holland Scroon is a merger of several little municipalities up in the north of the Netherlands. And I remember at the time of the merger, I was working there as well as a consultant, building the environment back in those days already based on Citrix. So they're pretty loyal customer to Citrix technology, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they run it for a couple of years now. Yeah.
So and a couple of things that you mentioned during your session. I think one and this is something that I also like. User experience is key. It's all about the user, and I think also in the end you mentioned a couple of things about, going out talking to the end user, the actual end user from different parts of the organization, and doing interviews with them and getting to understand what kind of needs they have in order to fulfill their job, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's in the end user experience is key. Yeah, that's we in end user computing is one of our mottos, as you can say. But you can say, well, in the previous times we talked to the IT manager and those kind of folk, and that's fine. But now you see that if you want to help the business, you need to talk to the business. And the IT manager has a limited scope of the organization. And if you talk to the guy or the girl from administration or from HR, you can hear from them where their issues are, what problems they face on a daily basis, and what kind of their job they find least fulfilling or annoying, perhaps. And if you can help them automate those things or make it easier for them to do them and faster, then you have an internal advocate.
Yeah, and that's for sure. And also, some proud work, of course, because then it's actually, you're touching the end customer and you're making their lives better with technology. So there was one thing at the beginning you mentioned, one of the credos of this project, I could call it a project, right?
Yeah.
Was do more locally disconnected.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about this?
Yeah. The one of the things the issue is that they have they have a municipality, and they also go to the people that live in the municipality. They go to their homes and the people from the that work and talk to them about child support or issues at home or whatever. And in the previous situation, when they got there and they needed to write something up or write an email, they needed to connect to an online workspace to do their work. So they needed a USB dongle, or they needed to connect their phones to connect to the Citrix desktop to type that email. So what they can do now is they can just open their laptop, type in the email, or type in a Word document, save it, and be done with it. And if it's not sent at that moment because internet connection is not there, because some of the laptops they have an internal chip for cellular data, but not all of them. So, but if they don't have any connection, then once they get to another place and they open the laptop, it's then sent. So it gives them the possibility to transcribe what they discussed with the customer at the customer place, no matter what, and then the customer or the one you're talking with can see what you're writing and can understand what the next steps are.
So basically, the employees within the organization that go out to the customers, maybe the people that they meet maybe on a daily basis in their own towns, maybe at the grocery store or whatnot, but they actually now can really engage with them instead of having those people coming over to to the office and, exactly. and where everything is connected.
Yeah.
So there's of course previously I talked to Pim from VMware and he's talking about the anywhere workplace. We talked about the various anys like any device, any data, any location, or any collaboration type maybe. So we also talked about any connection. So, but in this case, you even also provide the possibility for these employees to go out to the customers, and even in a disconnected world, they can still work. They can still write up the conversation that they have as a consultant, yeah. maybe with one of the people in those towns. And it's all cached locally, secured, and then as soon as the connection is reestablished, when they're at the office, then all the data is centralized.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's just because you want to have the data sent back immediately, of course. But it was the municipality said, well, are there possibilities that we can have at least for the when we talk as a consultant to our to someone that's living in our municipality that they know what we write so they can check what we're doing.
Yeah, well, transparency, that's always good, especially if you try to engage with the people that live in your town, right?
Exactly.
So, and a big part of your session was also about micro apps and specifically, Citrix micro apps. Can you tell us a little bit about, the micro apps and how you used it to make life easier for the employees within the municipality?
Yeah, sure. So, we started the project by building the Citrix workspace. And so to make it the place that the workers log on to in the morning and do their thing. And then we talked to the business about making it smarter, and making it smarter is making it easier for the users to do their thing and get the annoying things off their back. So one of the things we did is when you look at the onboarding of new staff, it's always a hassle because they didn't have automated all the steps yet. So what you saw is, well, the HR department did their thing in the HR application, and then IT needed to do their thing in Active Directory, etc. So what we discussed with them is, okay, how can we make this process more automated and more easy and less time consuming and annoying? So that's the part where us consultant job changes, because we now talk to the business and talk to everyone. And we talked to the end user, and we made a process about how this works. So, okay, what are the steps that are used, and who needs to do what? And once you have all that in place, and we create a nice diagrams, that's always good for the managers to see. But once you have these steps in place, you can see, okay, well, what can we automate and how? And so what we did is we automated once the user is added in the HR application, the information is sent to, in this case, someone else from HR or the same person. She inputs the information in a micro app, and then in the back end, the user is added to the Active Directory, to the correct function groups, licenses are added, everything that needs to be done for the user, mobile phone is requested. All these steps are automated. So, and that saves them a lot of time. And so what you see is all the steps that take a lot of time, for example, the getting the correct function group or the correct data groups for the users. Okay, he can connect to that folder, but not that folder. Okay, then he needs to be in this group. Those things are all automated, and we used this with a micro app that sends this information into Azure, which in the end uses a hybrid worker to input that information through PowerShell in Active Directory.
Okay, so basically, as you said, you make the life easier for the IT staff, and maybe also for, in this particular example, for people at HR.
Yeah.
But especially the outcome is, of course, as soon as someone is starting the onboarding process, everything is already set up and is aligned, and they can just focus on what they need to do. And talking about focus, this also, if you automate all these tasks that you need to repeat each and every time when you're onboarding new staff. If you take this away, of course, this frees up more cycles for the IT staff to really focus on the hard challenges, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing at Hollandskron, that's not really an issue. But at some customers, you find that once you they feel like you're taking work away from them. And the key thing is that we're not taking work away. We're making your life easier. So you can focus on the things that add value to the business, not making this laptop ready that takes you 2 hours a week. Let's see if we can automate that. So you can help the customer that needs to go to a client to get something done there, and he can't because his laptop is not functioning. You can help him and save and make the business more efficient.
I like that that thought, especially well you need to convince them, right? It's not taking away any work. It's just providing them the opportunity to focus on things that are more important and a better satisfied end customer maybe within the organization.
And for himself, it if looking at myself, I like to do fun job and not a repetitive
thing.
So it gives him time, him or her time, to do the things that he likes more.
So talking about you, there was one thing that you mentioned, the mouse clicking professional. Maybe this brings me to the question: what was your biggest learning curve or thing that you took away personally from this project?
Yeah, well, I work in IT for about 20 years, so 40 plus. I've been in IT since Windows 3.1, 3.11. Something like that.
Long time.
Yeah. The gray hairs do come from something. But I've always been working with the mouse and the keyboard to get things done. And what I found a few years back, PowerShell came on, and that was revolutionary, because that meant you could automate and do a lot of things through typing and creating scripts, and that was cool. And what I found in this project is, as I said in the presentation, it's not for the mouse clicking professional. Is once you go and build micro apps and you have to use APIs to connect to vendors and applications and get data from that, that's a whole different ballgame than just using a mouse and clicking on a button. And for me, that was especially the understanding how an API works and getting the correct information back safely and securely was, for me, a steep learning curve. But as I also said in the presentation, once you master it, you must keep doing it once in a while. It's not like riding a bike. That's something that once you can do it, you can do it for the rest of your life. This is something it's a skill, and you need to hone the skill.
You need to maintain the level of that skill set. Well, I think, if I just personally, I take a lot of respect for you taking up this steep learning curve, because even flowgramming, not talking about programming, but even drag and drop, can be challenging from time to time, right? Just thinking the entire process and drag the right parts into that flowgram, so to speak. So. And then there was one question, especially with all those APIs, and as you also mentioned in the in your session, the cloud constantly changes. So, and you also mentioned getting via an API, and in the meantime, they are doing some sound checks here in the room. So,
nice.
If you can hear that, this is a live conference. So, finally, again. Yeah, it's working pretty fine. But if you connect to third-party applications, and you mentioned something like hooking into a particular application and bypassing the user interface and going directly into the Oracle database, for example, that also brings maybe some risks, right? If these applications or the tables within that Oracle database are changing, then you need to rewrite your micro app to some extent. Do you see this as a potential risk with all these micro apps in the future?
Yeah, one of the things that is a potential risk, the cloud constantly changes. So whenever a vendor changes its APIs and you're not briefed in advance that the API is changing, which we had a few times with our customers, then the micro app stops working at one point in time, and you have no issue. You have no idea why, and then you dive into it and you find, okay, API changed. You need to contact the vendor, get the correct API stuff available, and then you can change it, and then it works again. And if you look at the when you're using scripting to talk to, for example, if you want to put something in an Oracle table and you use PowerShell to get this data, or some other programming language to get this data in the table, you can break the table if you do it incorrectly. And So the tip we had, and for Hollands Kroon, we talked to the guys that did the municipality own software, Vendor Centric in this case, about can we write directly into the Oracle database? And they were reluctant, because if you let third party vendors write in your database, you can break stuff. And if stuff is broken, it's not always easy to fix. So that's a thing, exactly what you said, when they update their tables in their database and you are writing into table 4 because you know that's the correct table and it's now table 5, you're writing incorrect data into the wrong data, incorrect data into the table, and then you have a major issue. So luckily, when you write mostly to databases, the table updates are mostly done in really big upgrades or something like that. So then the main problem is you need to have your tentacles into everything is changing in the IT landscape. So for the internal IT organization, you need to really talk to your internal application managers about, okay, there's a new version coming out. Does this impact me? What does change? When is it scheduled to change? So it also makes the life of the IT pro be more proactive and talk to different different people in the organization to get this information beforehand. But it makes it more complex.
Yeah, well, and maybe as we talked about maintaining your skill set and your knowledge level, well, this certainly helps, right?
This certainly helps, yeah.
Because you're never done and you're constantly, you need to evolve and adapt to any changes from anywhere in the landscape. So, as I said, by the fact that a lot of questions were asked after your session, I think It was an excellent session. A lot of knowledge was shared, especially all your tips and tricks on the end. So I would definitely advise anyone to reach out to you, to Gerjon Kunst from Warworks in the Netherlands. And as all the the Dutch Citrix user group attendees today are joining or enjoying their lunch, I don't want to keep you away from a well-deserved lunch.
Ah, thanks.
So thank you for joining us today, and maybe we'll be bumping into each other today or in a couple of weeks or months. We never know. But it was good seeing you, and thank you for being on the EUC Digest podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's grab lunch. So welcome back, listeners. And we just witnessed a great presentation from Patrick van der Boom and Rick Steinman on deploying Windows 10 multi-sessions. And you might know Patrick van der Boom as you've been in the podcast before, right? Or haven't you?
Not in the EUC Digest, but...
Okay, then it's time to schedule one of those sessions with you.
Challenge accepted.
Okay, excellent. I'll make a note of that. But maybe you can do a quick introduction of yourself.
Yeah, I'm Patrick van der Born. I'm an independent consultant based in the Netherlands, mainly focused on Citrix EUC Compute and Azure and everything as code.
And next to you is sitting Rick Steinman.
Yes, my name is Rick Steinman and I'm a solution engineer for a Dutch bank called Rabobank. And Patrick and I are working together in this amazing cloud project.
An amazing cloud project it is, absolutely, because, to be honest, I lost it pretty much at maybe the second slide already, right? When you're still introducing maybe yourself, but... So you've the session was on deploying Windows 10 multi-session, but not just deploying like I used to do with, we already joked about Alteryx and System Center Configuration Manager, but this is more on a DevOps approach, right? So can you give us a little bit more about this this new approach?
Yeah. From a technical perspective, we deploy everything via code. So basically, it's mandatory for us due to regulations of the bank to save everything in Azure DevOps repository. So that's for auditing purposes. We're not able to delete those repository, for example. And it's also mandatory for us to do configurational changes via a pipeline. And a pipeline is just a set of tasks executing code from the repository. We're also not able to delete those pipelines, so everything is locked by then. So our admins don't have any admin rights within the platforms, so like Azure. and they don't have admin rights in this case on Citrix Cloud. So if an admin needs to change something, it needs to execute a pipeline, and our images are also deployed and delivered via pipeline.
So maybe a question to Rick, as you, as one of the employees at the bank. At the beginning, you mentioned a little bit the difference or maybe the pre-DevOps era approach. And there was this approach with plan, build, and then run, basically. And now you have adopted this DevOps approach. And just as Patrick just described, this is, well, due to rules and regulations in the finance sector, maybe, or definitely. But can you tell us also a little bit more on what the added value is for you as an engineer or as an IT admin within the organization?
Yeah, what you see is the time to market is very reduced. When a new version of software is coming out, basically our engineers only have to do a pull request, run the pipeline, and within 4 hours it is in production. It's easier, and by using everything as code, everything is consistent through all the environments. So what you can forget in a GUI to forget to do a little selection or... I don't know the English word for
the
that.
The checkbox
for that. Those mistakes are not being made. We have an 4i policy by default. So every line of code when it goes into the repository has been checked by a different engineer, and also required to be tested.
Okay, so the consistency is much higher. You take out the factor of the errors made by humans, and I can also imagine. I think this is also something that I saw in one of the slides. It provides more flexibility, maybe, for the organization, or at least some more agility. To adapt changes pretty rapidly.
Yeah, the systems. Our systems department is the departments who make already applications. They're already working this way for years. So basically, we're doing the same thing, and we're speaking the same language now. So it's also easier to onboard developers, for example.
Okay, and so maybe one final question, because this is also a different way of working, especially also for all the engineers or all your colleagues at the bank. What was the biggest hurdle that you needed to take with them?
Yeah, it's more to just think like a developer, like which I also was, like more like a traditional admin, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to lose that traditional focus and go more into a DevOps world to think about code and agility. And what we've seen in our project, also with our colleagues, is that in the beginning they expected to be some kind of boring coder. And now we get lots of feedback like, hey, this is really fun. And especially when you book some results, like, for example, we invested lots of time configuring everything as code for one particular region in Australia East, for example. And now it's very cool if we have a new use case in India South that we're able to deploy a whole Citrix environment on Azure, including all the Azure services within a day. And then we're up and running, onboarding those guys over there. And then you see the power and agility of the reusability of all that code. And that gives you a lot of energy and also fun in the team. And it's also, we make also some fun about deploying things, waiting for a pipeline, and then just put our legs on the table while everything is configured for you.
I can imagine investing a lot of time and effort in getting everything set up correctly. And then whenever it's requested, then just hit run. And then enjoy that everything works as it's supposed to work, right?
Yeah. Most of the times it will that way.
Yeah. But, this is a podcast, of course. I can tell, looking in the eyes, I see some proud guys sitting here with a twinkle in their eyes. So, thank you. And maybe one final question. What's up next if everything is automated? Then what?
Basically we want to bring it to the next level. Basically we want to make it, normally, traditionally, we make something based on the business needs, and we want to bring the business in and let them work with us to deploy. So if they can do a pull request for their Citrix Cloud, so it's easier for them to automate with us.
Yeah,
so that's next thing.
Yeah. completely understand. So Patrick and Rick, thank you very much. Thank you for your session here at the Dutch Citrix User Group. And thank you for joining us today with the EUC Digest podcast. And of course, the same as the EUC Digest podcast, the same applies also to the Dutch Citrix User Group gathering. We need sponsors, of course. So, and Liquidware is one of the sponsors here today at the Dutch Citrix User Group, but also, of course, a great sponsor to our podcast. So, and of course, one of the new faces at Liquidware, but a very familiar face, especially in the Citrix community in the Netherlands. And actually, if my information is correct, the very first Dutch Citrix User Group gathering in the Netherlands was in February 10th in 2012. You, and I'm going to call out your name in a couple of seconds, you were also on stage there. So behind the mic, we have Andreas van Wingerne. How are you doing?
Well, fine, thank you. And that's all way back 2012. Oh my God.
Definitely it is, yes.
So, I'm getting old.
Yeah. Well, luckily we're all getting old. But actually, so this is the first, traditional face-to-face EUC Digest, I want to call out, but Dutch Citrix User Group gathering. And and again, after this pandemic, of course, 2 years of being online, the first session here, you are on stage, and also the first Dutch Citrix User Group gathering over at Cisco back in those days in Amsterdam, you were also on stage. But this time you were on stage wearing a Liquidware shirt, right? So, And as I mentioned during the introduction, Liquidware is a proud sponsor, both of the Dutch Citrix User Group as well as the EUC Digest podcast. But what does why is it that Liquidware is such a passionate sponsor to any of those community gatherings?
It's actually pretty simple. We truly believe that in order to be successful in the market, we need to embrace our community. I mean, these are the guys that will actually do a lot of the legwork for us. If I can't convince them about the beauty of our products, it'll be a hell of a job trying to convince the customers. I mean, every individual here talks to at least 10 times more customers than I can do in one day. So it's easy math in that respect.
And the power of community with that, definitely. Yes. So, but talking about these solutions, you were on stage talking about one of the new products that were launched pretty recently with Liquidware, and that's called FlexApp One. Can you tell us a little bit more about this new announcement?
Yeah, let me first make something really clear. FlexApp One is not so much a new product. It's more like a further development of functionality we already had in the FlexApp product. So it's also from a licensing perspective, not an additional cost customers will have to cough up, so to say.
Okay.
One of the things we've done is that we've looked at all the different scenarios available. And one of the scenarios we didn't have a solution for yet, for instance, was in an offline scenario. Now, obviously, especially here in the Netherlands, offline almost seems like a word from the past. But reality is we will not always have coverage during our lives or during the day that we need access to our applications. So that was one of the prime things for us to include and incorporate into our app layering technology called FlexApp.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty funny. I think it was already mentioned a couple of times today, although both, when I was talking to Pim from VMware, we were talking about the Any workspace, and of course also the Citrix workspaces. We're talking about the Any concept, and Any connection is also always something that is in that approach. And as you just called out, Any connection is not always a given these days.
So maybe we should rephrase that to Any scenario.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good
suggestion.
Go
beyond thinking about one technology, because ours crosses boundaries, whether it's a modern workplace or it's a virtual workplace or a cloud workplace. For us, it's all the same. And our packages will land on all these different instances, but also any scenario. And indeed, as I said, include the offline scenario. It is a viable scenario for a lot of people.
So, and you mentioned like app layering or packaging. How is FlexApp One different than during your session, you also mentioning some older technologies. Won't call any names, but
no, let's not. I mean, I think we've all contributed to the fact where we are today. we're just taking it one step further. So perhaps in marketing terms, we would say 2.0 or the next iteration. I don't care. We've just taken that little piece of technology and broadened the functionality and made it available and accessible and usable for a lot of organizations and incorporating the ramp up time. So one of the things we've always seen with applications, and we saw the same when we were building FlexApp One, was how do I get there? What's the road to success? Okay, I've bought the license. Now what? And a lot of companies take a long time to get their application landscape in order. With us, it's a very easy packaging mechanism. And basically, we've now also, with the same release, automated that whole process. So no need for long manual labor anymore, which is going to save a lot of costs for our customers.
Definitely. So the adoption rate will be pretty good as well, as I understand. No lengthy processes getting all the applications into this package.
Yeah, indeed. And app layering goes beyond isolation that we did initially, right? As a market, the original SoftGrid, the app virtualization technology that all turned into AppV as the market standard for app virtualization. The problem was we never could get close to 90% plus for the application. With app layering, that becomes a lot easier because there is no distinction from an OS perspective. So we can reach well over 90% of applications will be able to get packaged with an app layering technology with FlexApp.
So just a single solution. So, but there was, and maybe as a final question, there was one question that that popped to my mind where you were on stage. And yes, I was given the opportunity to raise my hand at the end, of course, but I didn't. Of course, you can provide access to an application in a remote scenario, or let me put it in a disconnected scenario. But what about data? What about data in order to use that application?
Look, let's face it, right? Any client server-based application, no matter how well you do it, it doesn't make sense in an offline scenario. You will need access to the back infrastructure. But a lot of our applications aren't client server-based. So Office, a lot of people don't use always Office in a connected scenario. There's possibility to work local. A lot of applications will have their own database included. So maybe they are architecturally a client server, but there is no separate server. They aren't separated. Any application that requires backend information systems, hey, sure, we can make them available offline, but they don't make sense. But still, being able to cover those as well as all those that are making sense in an offline scenario in one solution saves me a heap lot of trouble, money, time to actually get on board. And that's been our philosophy. We don't discriminate what the application architecture is. For all, it's all the same. It's an application.
Yeah, that makes sense. And luckily, there are other solutions out there. What is it, like baked-in solutions already that can provide distributed access to data?
But one of the things is, I mean, would you really replicate a database locally? I mean, the headaches you would get in replicating it back. I mean, it's one of the things in the old days Lotus Notes used to do. Ouch. And if people being my age remember that time with all the replication conflicts and manual overhead, maybe that's not a route we need to take anymore these days.
No, definitely. It kind of is a big conflict with a single source of truth with your data. So maybe just as a real final question, if the listeners wants to know more about the solutions that Liquidware has to offer, or FlexApp One in particular, where do they need to go?
It's really straightforward, right? www.liquidware.com, and you will find everything there. You will get an overwhelming amount of information, or follow us on YouTube.
Or better, next time come to the Dutch Citrix user group, and then
you
can
hear it
live
in Dutch.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Andrea. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for sharing all your knowledge, both on the podcast and also on stage. And we see you.
See you next time.
We definitely will. Thanks. So I'm now here together with Rody Kosse. And Rody, you had the honors to basically wrap this Dutch Citrix user group day up. And do the last session, and your session was all about mastering EUC performance. A session you did together with Kees Baggerman from Nutanix.
Yep.
And of course, I think you're basically also one of the first guests in the EUC Digest podcast.
I was the first. Yeah. I think I was the first guest speaker on your
podcast. Yeah,
that could be right. In season one, back in those days, you were working at PQR as a consultant.
And we talked about, I think, user experience because, I'm in love with that topic. So,
yeah, and actually, you changed roles since then, right? So you're now working at...
I'm working at Citrix now in the HCX team, working with graphics. So, yeah, I just followed my heart and came there. Yeah.
Not surprisingly, right? It's all about user experience. I remember your virtual background was also hinting on user experience for quite some time. So So in your session today, you talked about as mentioned already, mastering EUC performance, and a session you did together with Kees Baggerman from Nutanix. And I think in the beginning you mentioned something like or at least this was my interpretation of what you called out there. And sorry for any background noises again, but this is a live venue. But you talked about platform performance versus user experience. Can you give us some more context on these topics, or these two topics basically?
Yeah, so as I mentioned during the session... if you look at an organization, the end users always look at the user experience, right? They want to have the best performance available, and they really don't care about the cost of it. They just want to do their work, and they want to do their work fast, smooth, and it should look nice as well, right? So you don't want to have Windows XP style. You want to have all the nice buttons and things on it. But on the other end, if you look at a CTO or an IT manager or CFO, they look more at the cost. They look more at density. So you see there's a big gap there between those two, because the one does want the fastest desktop available at any cost, and the other is more looking at cost and less at the user experience. So there's a massive difference there. Yeah.
So, and you also, during this session, you talked about a couple of tools to either measure the performance of the platform.
Yeah.
And with that also the user density, and with that the total cost, especially is interesting for any C-level or...
Yeah.
And also about the user experience. So you mentioned a couple of tools like Login PSI, Rex Analytics, or Simloads, as it's called these days. And also NVIDIA N-Factor. I'm working at NVIDIA, of course, but I'm particularly interested into Simloads or Rex Analytics. Can you tell us a little bit about this tool?
Yeah, so Simloads basically defines standard workloads you can run. So you have different templates for workloads, but that you could say, well, Login VSI has the same. But the difference is there with Simloads, you're not only going to measure different metrics like CPU usage, density, which is, of course, defined by CPU usage for sure. But you also look at user experience, and you do that by capturing the HDMI output of an endpoint. And that way you can compare two different situations. So you have a situation A and a situation B. And you can't only compare on metrics like CPU usage, but also with a video stream. So you can set them side by side and you can really see the difference. So for example, if you achieve 10 FPS on situation A and 30 on situation B, you can really see that that's the difference for the end user. And that's less visible for us with numbers, because if I say, well, you get 10 FPS here and 30 there, you say, okay, wow, it's three times more, but you don't really know how much that means for an end user. So that's why adding video to it adds context, and then you can really see what the end user will see in this or her session.
Yeah, and maybe I was maybe asking for the way that I already knew, right? It was a rhetorical question, but yeah, I'm completely with you on that. Of course, working at NVIDIA, I have to be honest on this, but it's all about the user experience and the increased user experience with, in this case, GPU acceleration, of course. And talking about GPU acceleration, near the end of your session, you also talked about, GPUs in general, but also you talked about the NVIDIA A16 in particular.
Yeah.
What can you share about the A16?
I'm really excited about that GPU. And as mentioned during our session, we saw that over the last years, there was the balance was gone between the number of CPU cores you could get in the system versus the
GPUs you could place in. So, for example, the T4 is a very very nice card. It's used almost everywhere, but you can only put 6 cards in, which means basically 96 users with a 1 GB profile. But if you have more CPU cores you can get in your system, your density can't go higher because you're limited by the GPU. Now, with the introduction of the A16, which has much more frame buffer, it has 64 gigabytes. So yep. you could go up to, if you can place 3 GPUs in a system, you can go up to 192 users with a 1 GB profile. And that's really good density. But then again, as mentioned during our session, look at your fault domain. So if your organization is only 250 people, putting 190 people in one host doesn't make sense. So you should really look at your organization and what you're comfortable with, but it's a great card, and I'm really looking forward to test it.
Yeah. Finally, that balance is back, as you mentioned, but also with the full domains, look at the balance. The number of concurrent users and the hardware that you're running there. And I think you also mentioned something about the amount of transcoding resources that are available with encoding and decoding. You explained to the audience why this is important. We can definitely dedicate an entire session on the EUC Digest podcast again in the near future, and before it becomes a little bit too much of a shameless plug from my side and NVIDIA. But it was actually I think it's very important to understand the differences between platform performance and user experience, two different metrics basically. And as you said, user experience, that's hard to qualify because it's pretty subjective.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, some people are okay with 10 FPS, but others need smooth images and they complain even with 30 FPS. So, yeah, it's really up to the end user. You should really take a look at that.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
And we're not going to start talking about remote virtual reality with a minimum of 90 FPS, all the way up to 120 maybe, but we'll get there. Maybe together with Citrix. And we'll see what the future will bring. So, Rody, thank you very much. Thank you for sharing all your knowledge and all the testing methodologies that you shared on stage. And if people want to know more about this, can they reach out to you?
Yeah, for sure. They can reach out to me on Twitter. They can find me on my name or on LinkedIn. And I've done some sessions which can be found on YouTube as well if you want to know more about these topics. So, happy to help.
Thank you very much, Rody.
And, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to the next full EUC Digest podcast together with you and talking about user experience and maybe also your experience now at Citrix. So we'll see each other soon.
Thanks.
So it's a wrap, and I'm here with the last guest of today, and again with some nice sounds in the background. So we're looking forward to this barbecue, of course, to really wrap up this first Dutch Citrix user group after the pandemic. But so I'm here together with Barry Schiefer. Satisfied of today?
Yeah, I think it was a great event, great turnout.
Definitely. So at the beginning this morning, we had a brief chat, and you said, approximately like 110 people. Do you keep count? Do you keep score on how many people showed up?
Yeah, I think in the end we had about 100, 105 attendees, so only a 5-10% no-show. So that's great.
Okay. So obviously we have seen a lot of different sessions, a complete Dutch lineup, of course, due to some challenges with traveling abroad. Any session that was special interest to you?
Yeah, I think of course the Citrix keynote was of interest to everyone here. We haven't had one in over 2 years now. No Synergy, no Summit. So I think that was really interesting, especially since a lot has changed within Citrix as well, with the acquisition of Rike, of course. So I think that was really interesting. And of course, the session afterwards was the reference case of RawWorks that actually focused on the Citrix micro apps and microservices. It's just quite new to most of our audience. So really great. Yeah,
absolutely it was. Yeah, and now even it's not only the sound but also the smell of the barbecue that's coming in. So that's a little bit distracting. So I'll keep it short. So thank you again, Barry, and all of you who are working very hard behind the scenes to make a day such as this possible, with all the sponsors and all the speakers, of course. So, but big shout out to the Dutch Citrix User Group, board members or steering committee. Thank you for having us as a guest, and we're looking forward to the next one, probably somewhere in
October. No.
I think it was April or something that you mentioned.
March or April, we will have the next event, and we will announce it in October, November, just to see how everything goes.
Edition number 20.
Yeah, edition number 20. We exist for 10 years, so hopefully we can have a bigger audience than today and have a good party.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. So thank you again. And you can be proud of this this edition number 19, after 2 years of challenging times for all of us, and it's been an excellent event, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Thank you. And now we have really come to the end of this this great Dutch Citrix User Group Day here in the Netherlands, as they are resetting this room in order for all of us to have a great barbecue and have a nice dinner and a chat with all of us, of course. We really need to wrap up now. So I want to say thank you to all of you who have joined behind the mic today. It was great looking to each other's eyes instead of just looking into a webcam, of course. So a big shout out to the Dutch Citrix User Group board for putting this event together and having us as their guests. So before we wrap up, I would like to emphasize that we also record a monthly Throwdown podcast, which is published in your favorite podcast player, but also on YouTube. And there you, of course, can see all of our nice faces, or at least the nice faces of my fellow UC Digest podcast crew members. So don't forget to like these videos and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also, if you would like to join the recording live, we will be sharing a link on Twitter. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter at EUC Digest. And I really need to say thank you now. Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed the snack as much as we did, as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. And if you have a topic, or you want to be a guest, or maybe you have a suggestion for our next episode, or just want to stay in touch with us, you can reach out via email on podcast@eucdigest.com or reach out via the social channels. And with that, thanks and over and out.